Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. Today, I would like to talk about where is the sweet spot between an inflated sense of self-worth and low self-esteem. Wayne, kick us off.
Yeah, my first thought when you threw that topic out there was this has echoes of Dunning-Kruger effect in that, you know, as your competence rises, you've got that dip in that difference between your confidence and your actual competence. And so that feeling of, you know, there is a healthy balance of doubt that comes with expertise, but continuing to move forward with that independent of your expertise and knowing that you have self-worth and value that has nothing to do with what you do are two very distinct directions that you can go with that.
So where is that sweet spot? How do you know if you're inflating yourself or if you have low self-esteem? I feel like on the extremes, it's easy.
At the extremes, you do see a disconnection with the rest of the world if you're inflated, right? Everybody, you're probably not saying you're inflated. There's no bad characters in movies. Everybody's doing the best they can for what they think they should. So how do you know you're inflated? Well, those people that are inflated, they may not know. They may not be in touch with what the world actually thinks or their micro world. And then at the low end of what you said, it was low self-esteem. Again, I think that's a disconnection with the rest of the world because you're not having your head up to really see that you, as Wayne said, you have worth by just being here and showing up. And so I think both of those dreams are connected by this either intentional or unintentional, or maybe even pathological disconnection between your place in the world.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about, you know, I think we agree on the extremes being the two sides of the same coin kind of thing, where it is an ego problem, right? Either you are just kind of throwing yourself down and you're really inflating yourself and saying, well, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Where you keep fulfilling yourself with a self-inflated worth and then you're failing and you keep saying, well, I don't really, kind of feeds into the low self-esteem. But at the same time, if you talk about the sweet spot, I think that's really, I was just kind of thinking about it, right? From a little bit of an inflated self-esteem is actually good. That's what really pushes us to do things beyond our comfort zone. You know, we may think realistically, look, okay, I'm right here, but maybe I can do better. Maybe I should do better. Maybe I've done better, you know? And that ego sometimes drives us to do things beyond our comfort zone.
So that's an interesting point. If I take what Anif just said and what Cole said, and we kind of combine them together, what you're saying is it's good to be confident in like, I can do this, but then you also need to get feedback from the outside that says, are you being overinflated and making other people nuts because you're too much?
The key, right, is asking not where do you fit on there, but what's your process by how would you know whether the world feels like you're inflated or you're undervalued. And I think choosing your community of authenticity, like who, you know, you go in for that annual eval and your boss says, no, you're not doing everything you should, but the community you're serving is saying, you know, Wayne, you're doing exactly what we need you to do to help us out. I think that conflict is natural. And I think that probably tells you're probably in a sweet spot.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I was going is choosing who's points of view you trust and take on, and what you do with that information is definitely part of finding that sweet spot. I love the idea of leaning more towards the I am more competent than not, because I think that my gut instinct says the pathology from being slightly inflated versus being deflated, you're in a much worse sense place, and things aren't going to happen if you completely underestimate your self-value. Whereas if you slightly overestimate, maybe you stretch a little more, maybe you push a little further than you would have if you hadn't. So finding that balance and recognizing that, yeah, the way for some of us, when growth is the key thing that we love in our lives, that means being at the edge of failure. Like, we're pushing boundaries. We can't quite do the things we're doing, but we're going to do them anyway, and we're going to get better at them. And that's part of the process.
You know, going back to where the sweet spot is, I think it's where you are open to failures. I think that's where the sweet spot is, where you're not really going all the way down because you failed, but also you're just open to that. And you have that support system that enables you to take those risks and may fail at times. And you, then you know where you're, you know, are you at that fine boundary or not?
So do we have a chicken and egg problem where you have to be willing to fail? Like, you have to have a good enough self-esteem that you're willing to fail, but you also have to be able to fail and not let it affect your self-esteem it's so badly that then you can't get up and go again?
Absolutely. And I think there's another level of chicken and egg or catch 22 is that this idea that we're interconnected, that I'm providing either that opportunity for Wayne to risk and fail and support him or not. So it's, you know, my self-esteem is not really mine. My self-worth, I think, is mine. But like Wayne is important to my self-worth. And then it breaks down that barrier of, oh, that high self-esteem is somehow mine. No. You are provided that confidence by the social and physical surroundings you choose to place yourself in. I think we have a role in other people's abilities to be better and to risk. And then, of course, you see that in organizations, right? Is a culture of including failure in that. I think that elevates everybody's self-esteem.
So are we saying that then if you have a lower self-esteem or a self-esteem you want to improve, your best option or a good option might be to change the people around you? They may be not providing you the feedback that you need.
I think that combined with separating the failure from whatever meanings you layer into that and being willing to let go of the added layer of shenanigans that are going on inside your head around what does this mean about me as a person, as the future, all the things all those anxieties that may come up. I recently realized that whether mild or severe, anxiety shows up, and I tend to use it as a superpower and say, okay, so this thing might happen. What can I do to help make sure that that's either not going to be an issue or reduce the severity if it did come up? So I'm pre-planning a ton of things, which some of my teammates have learned. That means feed him an idea early, and then we'll see what happens later when it comes back to actually show up. But if I let the emotion side of it overtake, then it's a problem.
Essentially, if you think about confidence, right, it's a part of the process. It's not just one point in time. Do you have that process in place where you are constantly either getting positive or negative feedback and kind of churning it into a sustainable model, right? Unless you're always thinking about I'm really good or I'm really bad. Well, realistically, that's never the case. So you always have to find that fine balance in how you're really processing the information, you're using it. And then, like you said about the anxiety, right? And people, we all struggle with that. How do we deal with it? It's the key thing. And you know, are we really pushing ourselves down because we failed? And, you know, kind of reminds me of that movie, The Beautiful Mind, where he accepts who he is, and then he goes through that and still does great things. So
I think what I'm hearing is that self-worth is kind of static. Like, we all have an ingrained amount of self-worth. I cannot say that today. Self-worth as people. But your self-esteem may vary some, and it may vary based on outside influence. And that is something that we have to be willing to observe and adjust if we're going to kind of manage our self-worth.
Yeah, and I think each individual has much more power than they might think they have on setting the culture for that. I think when we see in the justice areas that I'm in, you see a lot of people in power not setting up a sort of a risk tolerant, failure tolerant, you know, there's a high demand, that there's a filter that keeps people out. Well, that's hard to maintain a high self-esteem when you're in that kind of culture. So I think we have so much individual power, not within ourselves only, but creating that micro or macro culture around us by how we behave.
And that is a great place for us to stop it. That is our 10 minutes. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I enjoyed it immensely, and I look forward to doing it again very soon.